Chapter 32. 2 days later, the Jupiter investigation team had more questions and few answers. Chang dropped by the temporary office Friedlander had been assigned, a cubicle with a desk covered in technical journals. Doctor?
Oh.
Mark stood up, nearly knocking over one of the stacks of journals.
Come.
He almost said come in, but there wasn't really an in. The cubicle was jammed into a wide spot of a hallway.
Here.
He took a stack of journals off a chair and looked around for a place to put them.
Dump them on the floor, please, Chang suggested. Unless you need them.
He glanced at the journal on top. It appeared to be written in Polish.
No.
Plopping the stack on the floor, he dusted the chair off with a rag.
Sit, please.
Chang got straight to the point.
What do you know?
I have a meeting with the UNEF Joint Chiefs in an hour. Mark let out a long breath, deflating himself into the chair.
A lot, but not a lot that is useful.
The cloud is atmospheric gas? Nothing radioactive?
Only background radiation, Friedlander confirmed. It is atmospheric gas. Our best guess is those devices they dropped into the planet are some sort of mass driver. They must be supported by some type of balloons to keep them at a stable altitude.
Chang raised an eyebrow.
You can detect the devices from here? No, not exactly. We can see a heat signature in the clouds. They are not getting any deeper. The count is unchanged. 74 devices are active.
Active?
Generating sufficient heat that we can detect the effect on the clouds around them. There might be other devices held in reserve in case an active unit fails or needs to be taken offline for maintenance.
Understood. So far, Chang was not getting the answers he needed.
The mass drivers? We're calling them fountains.
Mark frowned. The name had not been his idea. He thought it too cute for the serious subject.
They're pulling in atmospheric gas and accelerating it faster than escape velocity, shooting it up and away from the planet.
The gas is not going into orbit around Jupiter? It won't eventually fall back down?
No, it is falling inward toward the sun, at a slow relative velocity.
The Maxalks are shooting Jupiter's atmosphere at our sun? Chang frowned. That concept sounded familiar. He snapped his fingers, remembering.
Could they be extending the sun's useful life, restoring its hydrogen supply?
No, we considered that. The gas being ejected is not hydrogen or helium. It is heavier elements, such as sulfur, oxygen, neon. Those gases are useless to a star. They are trace gases in Jupiter's atmosphere, so it has to be the Maxalks are deliberately filtering out lighter elements.
Why?
We don't know. It doesn't make sense. For a while, we considered that maybe the Maxalks were creating the clouds to facilitate refueling. Instead of lowering a drogue into the atmosphere to collect helium, the ship could deploy scoops and simply fly through a cloud without having to go into orbit, picking up fuel on the fly.
A ship could collect sufficient fuel that way?
If it flies through a cloud the long way, rather than side to side. The clouds are streams of gas, thousands of kilometers long.
Refueling is not the purpose of the clouds.
Friedlander shook his head.
Can't be. Some will disagree, but...
He held out his hands.
I don't see it. The composition of gas is all wrong. We know Valkyrie's reactors run on helium, and it was a current technology ship when we captured it. Them. When we captured the ships that became Valkyrie. Unless the kiddies have a technology we know nothing about, fuel can't be why the gas is being ejected.
Chang glanced at his watch.
Then why are they doing it?
The team has various theories, Friedlander frowned, indicating he had not bought into any of the outlandish guesses.
If the fountains continue for a long time, meaning centuries, they will reduce Jupiter's mass by a measurable amount.
It was Chang's turn to frown.
Why would the Maxalks do that?
They wouldn't. Well, a shift in Jupiter's mass would have a subtle disrupting effect on the delicate balance of orbits of all the other planets.
Skippy said something like that once. Chang tried to recall the context. Could it throw Earth out of orbit? Not out of orbit. It could change our orbit very slightly over a very long time. The result could not possibly be worth the effort. Chang looked at his watch again and shifted to the edge of the chair. What else?
There is, Friedlander threw up his hands, speculation the Maxulks might be trying to ignite Jupiter, turn it into a star. No, that can't happen, he waved when Chang's eyes grew wide. Jupiter's mass can't sustain a reaction. Even to become a brown dwarf, it would need a lot more mass. If that is the goal, they should not be reducing mass by ejecting atmosphere. I'm sorry. At this point, we know what is happening, what they are doing. We have no idea why.
Only 4 ships remain of the original task force, Chang observed. When the gamma ray bursts of those ships jumping away was detected, some in UNEF command were panicked. Others reasoned correctly that if the ships were coming to Earth, they would have arrived before the gamma rays. Wherever the ships had gone to, it was not near humanity's home planet.
They accomplished their mission, whatever it is, Friedlander guessed. Those 4 ships might be assigned to monitor the project.
Yes, Chang muttered partly to himself. And to assure that no one interferes with what they are doing.
Very well, Doctor. He stood up. Keep working. I will, for all the good it will do. I have to be honest. We might never know what the enemy is doing. Their purpose could be beyond our understanding.
Colonel Dude, Bilby interrupted my thoughts. That Admiral guy is calling for you.
That was sooner than I expected. It was an awkward time for my opponent to call. I was helping bring injured people to the ship's medical center. Only the most seriously injured could be treated in the medical facility. We simply didn't have the capacity to treat more than 16 people at a time. Anyone with internal bleeding had first priority. My own diagnosis of a sprained neck vertebrae, a mild concussion, and several torn muscles in my neck and shoulders did not warrant me getting treatment, other than an injection of self-repair nanomachines by a medical bot. Sims was actually in better condition than I was, despite the scary-looking burst blood vessels in her eyes. We had 5 people with very serious injuries. They had been unable to properly secure themselves before Skippy did whatever he did and the ship just freaking stopped dead in space. It was no surprise that all 5 of them failed to fully secure themselves because they had been helping others up to the last second, and maybe they saved lives in the end. What I know for sure was Bilby was very worried we might lose 2 of them. He had Valkyrie's medical bots doing whatever they could first to stabilize their biofunctions, as our AI so delicately explained the procedure. We were lucky that more people were not nearly killed by the violent maneuver. To take delivery of the ships offered by the Jirapha, Valkyrie had 3 times the normal number of people aboard, and they had been forced to scramble on short notice before Skippy performed his magic trick. The artificial gravity system, even having to cover only a portion of the ship's interior, had not been able to cope completely with the sudden deceleration. We experienced the equivalent of 14 Gs for a moment, which was thousands of times less force than would have been exerted on our squishy meat sack bodies if the artificial gravity system had not protected us. I guess we are lucky that any of us survived. No thanks to me for jumping into what now seemed like an obvious ambush. Screw that, Bishop, I told myself. Kick yourself later. Right now the crew needs a leader who is calm, confident, and in command of himself and the situation. Don't respond, I instructed Bilby as I carried one end of a stretcher toward the medical center. The other end was held by a pilot whose name I couldn't remember. She was part of the reserve crew, and blood on the front of her uniform top obscured her name tag. Hey, tell Sims what I said. Wait, did this admiral say what he wants?
I guess he wants to talk about, like, stuff, you know.
Shit. I had to talk with Reichert or whatever his name was, if only to stall for time, and to make sure he wasn't tempted to do anything stupid.
Tell him I'm busy.
No. Damn it, I need to be decisive, especially as Lieutenant Wu, I just remembered her name, was trying not to look at me. She was being polite, but she could hear only one side of the conversation.
Bilby, ask Sims to respond for me, but for now I just wanted to say I'll call this jerk later.
Okie dokie, dude, Bilby agreed.
The medical center was just around a corner of the passageway where we ran into a traffic jam of stretchers. We set our stretcher down carefully, and I told Wu to wait while I checked what was going on.
Sergeant Raven, I called to a medic who was crouched next to a stretcher, applying a splint to a broken arm.
What's going on? Why are all these people in the passageway?
She didn't look up from her work.
All the medical bays are full. We're doing the best.
That's truth, man, Bilby interrupted. Hey, Colonel Dude, I need to talk with you about something. Can you, come into Bay 4?
Irritated by Bilby's moronic slacker talk, I was tempted to order him to talk to me right there, but he might want to discuss a medical issue about a patient. That was private information, even 1,000 light years away from anyone to enforce HIPAA regulations.
Sure, I'll be right there.
People made room for me as best they could. I squeezed by and tried to avoid stepping over people who were lying on the floor. Bay 4 was blessedly near the front of the medical center. Even so, I came close to tripping over my own feet. The door slid open as I approached, and I stepped forward with my arms held out into the thin film of plastic that stretched across the doorway. The material was like super-thin plastic wrap, and it closed behind me, sealing me in to prevent me from contaminating the bay's interior. Lifting one foot, then the other, the material completed the process, and only my face remained uncovered. With a plastic-wrapped hand, I pulled a clear mask off the wall and slapped it in place. It automatically sealed in a ring around my nose, mouth, and eyes. The whole process took only seconds, and the inner door opened automatically. It was difficult for me to tell who was in the vat of gel, hooked up to tubes and wires. Technically, while immersed in the gel, the patient could not be contaminated by airborne pathogens, but we were not taking any chances. A glance at the wall showed the patient was Squadron Leader Om Singh of the Indian Air Force. There was a bunch of biosign info on the display. I couldn't interpret any of it. There really wasn't any reason for me to be in the medical bay. My guess was Bilby wanted to talk privately.
Bilby, how is he? I thought we were going to lose him. That's what I want to talk with you about. He was bleeding into his brain, and I couldn't stop it, not without causing even worse damage.
He was bleeding?
Yeah, man, that's the funky part. I tried to control the nanomachines, but it was impossible. There's just too many of them for me to keep track of each one, you know? But then they, started working together.
I took a step back from the gel-filled tank.
The nanomeds are working by themselves?
Holy shit. I felt a chill of fear. That could not be good. The last thing we needed was an army of tiny machines thinking for themselves.
No, dude, that's not what happened. Someone else was coordinating their actions, directing what each machine is doing at the finest level so they all work perfectly together, way better than I could ever do. Squadron Leader Singh will recover, most likely. No thanks to me.
I guessed what he was talking about.
You think Skippy is controlling the nano here?
Yeah. That's why I wanted to talk in private, you know? Not just here. All the serious cases we have, the nano is working better than anything I can do. Also, the main engines are being tweaked to improve efficiency, and that's not me doing anything.
He must be alive, dude.
Not just alive. He is aware of what's going on, you know?
Have you tried talking to him?
Dude, I even sang one of his heinous operas, and nothing. No response.
Okay, well, keep trying.
That's all? You don't need me to help here, do you?
No offense, but you'd be kinda useless in the medical center, dude.
None taken.
On the way to the bridge, I tried calling Skippy, and only got silence in response. Whatever was going on with him, he didn't have time or energy to talk about it. Maybe I should do some extra stupid monkey antics to get his attention, like slip on a banana peel.
XO, I called as I walked onto the bridge and stood behind the command chair.
We're at a depth of 38 bars? I asked.
Sims looked back at me, her motion stiff.
She had gotten a quick scan and a nanomed injection and stayed on the bridge. Bilby reports the hull integrity is solid, but I slowed our rate of descent. We will level off at 40 bars. Unless... No, that's good. It was anyone's guess what was the optimum depth. We had to strike a balance. We had to be deep enough for the Maxalts to understand that if they hit Valkyrie, the hull might collapse, sending us and Skippy plunging down to the planet's rocky core. But if we went too deep, any flaw in the hull could cause an accident and kill us all. Plus, damn it, the farther down we went into the atmosphere, the longer the journey back up. Without Skippy being active, we didn't have a micro wormhole in orbit to show us what was going on up there. That was a major disadvantage. Pointing back over my shoulder with a thumb, I said, "I'm going to my office to talk with my counterpart upstairs. Don't worry, I will not antagonize the jerk." The conversation did not begin with an exchange of pleasantries. Neither of us could stand the thought of pretending to be polite, and that would have been a bullshit waste of time anyway. Still, I didn't let my emotions and ego get in the way of doing my job. Admiral Reichert. I used his name to let him know that I knew who he was. "You want to discuss the situation?"
"Yes."
He didn't bother to address me by name.
"You believe that we have a stalemate. You are wrong about that. My fleet has established complete supremacy in this star system. If you are hoping your allies, the Jarratha, will come to your rescue, then you are gravely mistaken."
I was not counting on help from the Jarratha, I stammered deliberately, sure my apparent nervousness would be noted by his translator software.
"You are lying, human. My fleet can stay up here indefinitely. Your ship will encounter increasing difficulties maintaining system integrity in that toxic atmosphere. We are all well aware of the capabilities of the ship you stole from us."
"We can stay down here long enough. We brought plenty of snacks." I popped a cheese doodle in my mouth and crunched it loudly. "You can't touch us without killing yourselves, and you know it."
"I do not know that," he snapped. "I do not believe the Elder AI is still in your possession."
Oh, shit. That was unexpected. Crap, I should have anticipated he would want proof that Skippy was down here with us. Why? Because that's what I would do if I was up in orbit. How the fuck could I convince Riker that Skippy was still here?
"Think again, asshole," I said to stall for time while I frantically tried to think of what I could do.
"Maybe ask Bilby to talk. Pretend to be Skippy? The Maxalks didn't know what Skippy sounded like, did they?"
"We require proof," he demanded, "or we will start shooting."
Before I could say anything, he added,
"I propose to send one ship to dock with your vessel so a team of my people can verify the presence of the AI.
"Oh, hell no. No way am I going to..."
"Refusal to comply with my reasonable request will force me to conclude the AI was destroyed when you escaped from my damping fields, or that you ejected it, or lost it, before you descended to your present position. One of my frigates has begun to descend."
Crap. Ejecting Skippy before we descended into the atmosphere sounded like something I would do. The enemy knew me too well. "You keep that damn thing away from us or I will start shooting.
A frigate is a small vessel. It cannot pose a risk to you. Therefore, refusal to permit my team to inspect your ship and verify the presence of the Elder AI can only mean you do not have the Elder AI with you. This communication is terminated."
"Hey, not so fast, ass—"
"He isn't listening, dude," Bilby informed me. "The ships up there are jamming our transmissions."
"Shit!" I pounded a fist on the desk, sending a stab of pain from my neck into my elbow.
"Ah, shit! That hurts! Damn it!"
Why the hell had I thought I could match wits with a Maxalt's admiral? An admiral who had already lured me into an ambush? I am an idiot.
"What are we going to do?" Bilby asked.
"I don't know. We are not letting any of those kiddies aboard the ship." This was something I needed to let Smythe know about.
"Smythe, this is Bishop."
"Yes, sir," he answered immediately. His team had been assisting with the injured,
except for the people on his team who were themselves injured.
I can't believe I am saying this, but you need to be prepared to repel boarders.
Sir? He paused.
Is this a joke?
I wish it was. The kiddies are sending a ship down here to inspect Skippy to verify he is with us.
We can't allow them access to the ship, he warned.
Hell no, we can't. Without Skippy watching them, any Maxalt's boarding team could get up to all sorts of mischief aboard Valkyrie. A boarding team would have supremely advanced mech suits, be accompanied by drones and bots and nanoscale nasties that could infect every corner of the ship and be impossible to get rid of without an industrial-strength can of nanobug spray.
What do we know about the opposition? One ship, supposedly, a frigate. We'll have better intel when the ship approaches.
Sir, he said the word as a question, but what he was actually questioning was my plan to deal with the situation.
Am I missing something? Can't we destroy the enemy ship before it gets close enough for a boarding attempt?
Maybe not. The Chief Kitty up there told me that if we don't allow his inspection team to verify Skippy is with us, he will assume we ejected Skippy before we descended here. The threat of Skippy falling to the core of this world is the only reason the Maxalts haven't nuked us.
This is a sticky situation, Smythe muttered.
Skippy is still not responding?
No. Bilby says Skippy is still alive, whatever that means.
Perhaps, our star system commander said slowly while he thought, we must consider allowing a small inspection party to board us.
Not an option, I declared.
Sir, repelling a boarding party has the same effect as shooting at their ship. It will be considered admitting we do not have Skippy with us. If we allow one or two Maxalts to inspect,
I thought of that, and it won't work. We can't show our guests an inert cylinder. They'll assume we're faking. Unless Skippy can do something that only Skippy can do, we can't prove he is here.
The Admiral up there knows we can't allow his troops to board our ship.
Smythe, we're stalling for time. Time for Skippy to reboot or fix whatever the hell is wrong with him.
Yes, sir. Smythe was satisfied that I had given him clear instructions. He had a tasking, a mission his team was capable of performing. The Stars had practiced boarding operations many times, though mostly they were the offense. He had to adapt to working without help from Skippy.
You mentioned stalling for time.
Yeah, I'll give you as long as I can. I ended the call and pinged Sims.
XO, get in here. We've got trouble.
She was in my office quickly, an advantage of being close to the ship's bridge. Sims listened while I briefly explained the situation.
We're stalling for time. You have any suggestions? I asked.
Any meeting between ships of opposing forces needs to have protocols established to prevent accidents and misunderstandings.
Oh, good one. I snapped my fingers.
Okay, we'll go with... Bilby interrupted me.
Hey, Colonel Dude! I'm detecting a ship entering Atmo above us. You want me to use active sensors?
Yes, do that.
I waited with Sims for Bilby to report.
Shit.
When I had the idea to create a stalemate by taking Valkyrie deep into the planet, I had patted myself on the back for my clever strategy. Admiral Reichert was calling my bluff, and it was a bluff.
It's a frigate, Bilby announced. It's coming in fast. They'll have to slow down as they descend.
Sims stood up.
I'll get back to the bridge, sir.
I'll join you. When we arrived back on the bridge, the duty officer gave the command chair to me, though I still hadn't decided what commands to give. That made me kinda useless. How could we stop?
Wait.
I didn't need to stop the frigate from approaching. Just slow it down.
Weps,
I signaled the officer at the weapons console. Put a shot across the frigate's bow. Two railgun darts, close enough to shake them up. Valkyrie shuddered as two darts were flung upward. The use of railguns was usually silent. It was weird to hear a loud thunderclap as the hypersonic projectiles created shockwaves in the dense air around the ship, and the deck rocked gently. It didn't take long for Reichert to return the gesture. Two railgun darts bracketed Valkyrie, one forward and one aft. They sounded like thunderclaps in the thick air around us.
I got the message.
Secure weapons, I ordered.
Reichert called before I could call him.
Bishop.
Even through a translator, he sounded angry.
We will not tolerate.
That was to get your attention, I explained. Okay, fine. We will permit a limited inspection under our terms. He didn't reply right away. My guess is he didn't expect me to agree to being boarded.
What are your terms?
We need to establish protocols to make sure some trigger-happy jerk doesn't cause an accident. Agreed?
Agreed.
Great. My executive officer will discuss protocols. Next to me, Sims silently mouthed WTF as I threw her under the bus. Can you designate a staff member to negotiate?
Yes, he snapped. Bishop, if this is an attempt to stall...
This is an attempt, I cut him off, to assure your people don't do something stupid and get us all killed. Understood?
Understood.
I ended the call. XO, you can use my office. Drag it out, but don't make it too obvious you're delaying. Thank you so much, sir, she fumed at me as she slapped open the safety belt and rose from her chair. Sims, wait a second. I would need to think of a way to make it up to her. After, you know, I thought of a way to get the entire crew out of the mess I got us into. Bilby, do you have a better estimate of our maximum safe depth?
The hull is holding up better than I expected, the ship's AI answered. But there could be microfractures I can't detect without scanning with maintenance bots, and I can't send those bots outside while we're flying at supersonic speed.
Yeah, I get that. Bilby hadn't dropped into his usual surfer slacker lingo. He must be very worried. Give me a guess. That was a stupid thing to ask. So I added, what I want is a depth where if the enemy tries a hostile boarding, they know they have to be very careful because our ship is already on the edge of fatal damage.
Oh, gotcha. We can probably go deeper than that frigate, so
I don't think the enemy cares whether that frigate gets back into orbit.
Bogus, Bilby groaned. Dude, I wouldn't descend any farther than 65 bars. Our margin for error at that depth is thin. Real thin.
Chen, I addressed the pilot. Take us down to 50 bars. Bilby, could an escape pod reach orbit from this depth?
No. Those pods are like designed to go down toward a planet, not up away from one, you know?
Yeah. What about a dropship?
A Panther could make it to orbit under the right conditions.
XO, I jerked my head toward the doorway. Walk with me. Out in the passageway, she cocked her head. Why did you ask about dropships? If the enemy destroys the ship, they surely won't allow any dropships to reach orbit. The crew would...
Not the crew.
Skippy. Oh. If things go sideways down here, it cannot be the end of all life in the galaxy. We can't allow those timers to expire. Her mouth hung open, without words. It sucks, but... She stared at me. The Maxalts would capture him. If they didn't blow up the dropship. If we have to launch a dropship, it will broadcast a message that Skippy is aboard. Listen, XO. If the kiddies have Skippy, humanity will still survive in some fashion. I can't be responsible for killing everyone. I thought she would give me a you-should-have-thought-of-that-before look, but she didn't. She patted my shoulder with one hand and held up the other for a fist bump. We've gotten out of worse situations, she reminded me quietly. Our best asset right now is time. I bumped her fist. I'll stall those assholes as long as I can, she promised. On the way to Skippy's man cave, I opened a locker and got a roll of duct tape. In his escape pod, I wrapped the tape around his can several times to secure him to the foam holder that was now too loose. He didn't object to the abuse. That worried me. In a Panther that I selected because it was alone in its docking bay, I got it warmed up and programmed the autopilot for a flight to low orbit. Bilby confirmed the navigation system was operating correctly and he had control of the dropship.
Hey, dude, if we're really going to do this... If we have to do this. Sure, that's what I meant. If we have to do this, it means something really bad happened, right?
Yes. So?
So, We should pressurize the docking bay to match the pressure outside, you know? That would make the launch process faster. I paused to consider what I knew of the docking bay systems. We can pump enough air in here to match... No, dude. I mean, crack the doors open. Let the outside air in. Get it? The air here is toxic, and it will... Yeah. We would need to scrub the bay later if we didn't launch the Panther. If that was the worst of our problems, I would personally scrub the freaking bay with a toothbrush. Good idea, but wait until I get back inside the ship, okay? Sure thing, dude, he chuckled. I've been trying to wake up Skippy, but no dice, man. Wish I had a way to jumpstart him with those paddles they use for heart attacks, you know? Despite the grim situation, I had to laugh. It would take more than an electric shock to... To what, dude? Don't leave me hanging, man. A shock, I said slowly, rolling something around in my mind. Bilby, it is too bad that Skippy is gone. I really wanted to ask him if he thought Justin Bieber was more important to pop music than Elvis. If you look at... What? The ship trembled as Skippy's can glowed orange and tendrils of smoke curled up from the now partly melted duct tape. You miserable, ignorant cretin! How could anyone with half a brain think... Welcome back, Skippy. I pumped a fist. Joseph, you take that back right now, or I swear I will jump into the core of this planet. Hanging my head, I mumbled, I am terribly, terribly sorry for my unforgivable ignorance. Hmph! Wait, did you just bait me? You think? Oh, why I should... You should wake the hell up and help us, you jackass. Joe, he sighed. I've had better days. Sorry. What's going on with you? Your can shrank. It did? Oh, that is not good. Well, are you okay? I am very much not okay. You might say that currently I am experiencing a slight awesomeness deficiency. How slight? Like if you want me to prove I'm still here by doing something like altering the planet's magnetic field, prepare for disappointment. Joe, I hurt myself. You? Come on, you are Skippy the Magnificent. I am also Skippy the guy who channeled the kinetic energy of a freaking battlecruiser. The energy had to go somewhere. Hoo boy, I do not want to do that again. Is this like 0 hour or after you bailed on us at Rikers? No and no. My connection to higher space-time is intact. It's just currently a bit crispy. Crispy? Holy shit. Yeah. Listen, I did want to talk to you earlier. I needed to concentrate on putting myself back together. That didn't work so well for Humpty Dumpty. I'm not using horses, numbskull, he snorted. But there was a bit of amusement in his scorn. That was a good sign. Is there anything we can do to help? No, I need time, Joe. It would help if Valkyrie didn't explode in the next few days. I will make a note of that, I said gravely. If you want, I can talk to this Reichert guy for you, he offered. So you know the situation? I am vaguely aware of what has been going on, yes. Nice move bringing the ship down here, by the way. That was clever. Thanks. A bit of a dead end, if you ask me, but better than doing nothing. Please stop. I am blushing from your lavish praise. Hey, I didn't get us into this mess. Don't remind me. I do not like the part of your plan that involves the potential for me to fall to the frozen core of this miserable ball of ice to spend an eternity of despair with no hope of it ever ending. Ah, think of it as being at the Department of Motor Vehicles. Ha! He snorted. That was a good sign. Thanks for the offer, Skippy, but talking to the big kitty up there won't help. He knows we could fake that. You can't do any space-time flattening stuff? Right now, I would have trouble flattening a pancake. That's not good. How about something that doesn't require you to bend the laws of physics? Some of the ships up there are in low orbit. Can you take control of them? No. Okay, how about taking control of one ship? Again, no. Wow. I plopped myself down in the seat next to where I had Skippy strapped in. You really are hurting. That is what I told you, he said with an implied "you dum-dum." However, the problem is not just my current condition. The ships up there are set for secure condition. When we seized the Maxalt ships that became Valkyrie, they were running under normal fleet procedure for cruising conditions or encounters with lower technology species. The ships upstairs are rigged for encounters with a peer enemy, such as the Rindaloo. Under those secure conditions, the computers aboard each ship are not networked. Each system operates independently to reduce the possibility of the ship becoming disabled due to cyber attacks.
Damn. Well, how does... You are asking how that affects the efficiency of the ship's ability to respond to commands?
The answer is it significantly degrades response time, the operation of weapons and defense systems, and any action in which the coordination between separate systems would be an advantage. The Maxalts adopted the security lockdown procedure long ago after a series of engagements where the Spiders remotely disabled the Kitty's ships. So, the short answer is no. I can't hack into those ships from here.
Shit.
Sorry, I know it's not your fault. If we can't prove you are here, the Kitties are gonna nuke this ship. They have a frigate coming down to deliver an inspection team.
He snorted.
You mean an assault team?
That's what I suspect, yeah.
Do you have any suggestions for us?
I suggest you stall for time.
That is super helpful. I never would have thought of that.
Sorry, I'm doing what I can.